Good evening. This is Eric Kirk. This is Thursday Night Talk. My guest tonight, Narissa Moran, Elaine Rovier. Did I say that close
Elaine
to right? Elaine Rovier and Peggy Dickinson, all members of the newly founded North Coast People's Alliance, and yet another fresh and new attempt to organize progressives on the North Coast. It came out of the Bernie Sanders movement. And what I'm going to do first is I'm going to ask each of you to introduce yourselves and explain why you're into politics and why you're part of this effort. And obviously, you got brought into the Bernie Sanders campaign. I will report, for those of you out there who didn't know, Bernie Sanders actually, of all the counties in California, did best here, exceeded 70% of the vote. Amazing, that one. I mean, considering, you know, what Humboldt County was even when I first moved here, it's a lot of changes, but also represented a real compelling campaign. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But Narissa, why don't we talk about you first? Who are you and why are you involved?
Well, I was involved in the struggle against the Vietnam War way back in the day, so that belies my age. I've been around a while. I worked on some farm worker issues. When I was very young, I worked at a factory called Planters Peanuts, and I was elected the shop steward there. So I started becoming involved with workers' issues and immigration issues at that time. And I've carried these interests throughout my life, but I think this is the first time when Bernie started running that I felt like we really had a chance to make some fundamental changes in society. I've been working on a few issues since then, but this has been a really big change.
All right. Elaine?
This is the first campaign, actually, I've been involved in since I worked for Eugene McCarthy back in 1968. And I was very involved there. I was part of the Youth for McCarthy in Sacramento. I was also involved in People's Park and Anti-Vietnam movement. And until I started listening to Bernie this fall, I pretty much took a back seat to politics. And then I started realizing he's actually saying the things that I believe and that I want for my world. So I got very excited and jumped right in.
Peggy.
Well, I was involved in politics for a number of years when I was considerably younger. And then I did work on the Obama campaign, but I was very disappointed afterwards because there had been a huge surge of grassroots energy to support Obama, and it just seemed to dissipate. And I don't think that he took sufficient advantage of that eagerness and the energy, particularly among young people. And I read an article by a man named Todd Gitlin about Bernie Sanders, and I thought, all I knew about him was he was an independent in Congress. And I thought, I should look into this. So I did. And I read up about Bernie. I read some of his speeches. And I thought, my God, maybe there really is a chance for real change in my lifetime. So I got on board.
All right. And why Bernie Sanders?
I think it's because he has the kind of goals that most of us would like to see for our culture. And that was one of the main reasons. I was particularly interested in the idea of free college education because I had taught in a school, in a college up north in Washington State. And I saw the students were going into debt, and I'm sure there's a lot of students out there who are now going into debt for their college education. And I think the real way to build the middle class is through education. And I thought, here's maybe a chance. Somebody will actually make education a priority. So that's why I got to Bernie.
Yeah, and I think another reason that we all agree that Bernie meant so much to us is because he kept saying it was not just about Bernie, and that he has said repeatedly that it will take a movement to get those changes that Peggy's talking about. Right. And he wanted to mobilize all of the forces in the country for a better society, whether it was the students facing debt or environmental justice, social justice. He supported Black Lives Matter, those kind of things. So all of those kind of drew us, I think, together behind Bernie.
He did have that famous video where he said, I'm going to tell you something most of the other candidates won't say. I can't do anything by myself as president. I can't do it. He said, I need a grassroots movement, you know, to push the things that maybe I can help move along. That's, I mean, it was kind of a profound moment. And he's one of those candidates, was one of those candidates who was what we refer to as a movement candidate. It wasn't just about getting elected. It wasn't just about winning. He would have liked to have been one, but it was about galvanizing forces, pulling them together. It reminded me very much of the Rainbow Coalition Jesse Jackson campaign in the 1980s. That's when I first became active. But, you know, also maybe a little bit like what McGovern tried to do. It didn't work out so well in 1972 in McCarthy. But it definitely was an emphasis on the grassroots, and it brought a group together here in the North Coast.
That's right.
Yeah, I think we felt like our voices were really being heard. It was about us, and it wasn't just small incremental changes. He was actually saying what most of us felt, particularly with climate change being, you know, such a critical issue, such a time-sensitive issue. It's like we have to do something. Nature back. Bats last. We don't have the luxury of waiting for decades.
So what did the Sanders campaign do locally? I mean, it was a lot different from other campaigns. What you were all doing together when you were trying to get that 70% of the votes?
Pounding the pavement.
Yeah.
Knocking on a lot of doors, talking to a lot of people.
No, one of the first things we did was we made contact with a huge number of people at the North Country Fair, because we had a booth for Bernie Sanders at the North Country Fair, and the response we got was just amazing. I wasn't expecting anything like it. We had people who were willing to support us. We had to sign up to work on the campaign, and it was, for me, it was absolutely thrilling, because I'd never seen that kind of response to a political campaign before, even for Obama.
All right, so he didn't win the nomination, so what are you all doing?
We're working on the revolution.
There you go. So what is the North Coast People's Alliance? What is it? I know it's in formation. I know a lot of it has to be discussed, but basically what is it right now?
Well, we're becoming a thriving center for effective grassroots alliances. We're working for economic, environmental, and social justice. We're doing it through local elections, like the election for Prop V and Prop P, which are the True Ward elections, and help me out, the Mobile Home Initiative.
Prop V, I believe, is Eureka to make the ward elections, make it so that you would... if you win, you only have to get the votes in your ward. You don't
exactly.
have to get...
Yeah, it's called True Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah. You live in the ward. The people in the ward vote for you. You only have to campaign in the ward, so it makes it a lot more cost effective for just regular people to run for office.
Yeah, so people can run without bankrupting themselves or having to rely on money from groups with particular interests.
And certainly easier to pound the pavement, I guess. You won't have to do as much walking. It reminds me of the district election fights in San Francisco, and which they eventually did have a lot of resistance to. But the first year they'd had district elections in San Francisco, very interesting mixed results. Harvey Milk was elected, but also Dan White. And then for a while after that, San Francisco didn't have district elections. Some people said, "Well, look what that brings about." But in the mid-90s, they had them again. So, ward elections. There will be a lot of discussion about that. Some people say, "Well, Eureka's not a town as big as San Francisco. We don't really need them here." But as I understand it, ward people already have to live in a ward to be elected.
Yes, that's correct.
So it's sort of a combination. Yeah. Right now. But all right, well, there'll be plenty of discussion on that before the election. What was Prop P?
That's, I think that was Prop P.
Oh, Prop
it was
P.
the ward
yeah,
election.
Sorry, Prop
and
P.
Prop V is the mobile home, mobilehome.org has a lot of information on this, but this is where a lot of outside forces have come up with money to try to raise the rents on the mobile home parks. And there's one large company that has bought you guys can help me out here on the details, because I'm a little sketchy on the details of this particular one. But there's outside money, and then there's a large corporation that has bought some of these mobile parks, and they're trying to raise rents, and the struggle is to keep these rents affordable so that we don't exacerbate the homeless problem.
A rent control specific to mobile homes.
To right. the lots.
Exactly.
So, because the people in the they own their homes, and they can't just get up and move their homes. Right. You know, a lot of these mobile homes actually can't even be moved. So they're almost, they're like captive, but they rent the land the mobile home is on.
All right. Well, there'll be plenty of discussion about that as well. And then you are endorsing one local candidate at this point.
Right. Correct? Austin Allison for the 4th Ward.
4th Ward running against John Fullerton.
Correct.
And there will be discussions about that. That's the only contested race this time around at this point.
It is.
That's
at
true.
At this point, yes.
So,
interesting season.
All right. So, but obviously, you know, this the organization came out of an election effort, and so it's going to continue with election efforts. But that's obviously not all you're going to do, correct?
But it's probably worth noting that we're starting already on the election effort. So on Sundays from 12 to 4 at the Labor Temple, people are already going to come together starting this Sunday to phone bank and to canvas, and we'll be providing information for people who may not know about the candidates or the measures, Measure V and Measure P, and we'll be providing snacks and also training for the canvassing and phone banking. So if people want to start, this is the time to get involved.
12 to 4 Labor Temple.
That's
right,
exactly
every Sunday.
Yeah. Every Sunday.
And, all right. And then... and then, but you also are talking about doing, what we were talking about before the show, we were talking a little bit about education. And there's an educational committee.
Right. We have a local team or local, what we call a team. It's a local committee, which is part of the North Coast People's Alliance. And on the education team, we're starting with a book club. So we're reading things that are not just educating people on local issues, but also to kind of get more of an overview of what's happening. So we already read Naomi Klein's This Changes Everything about the environment, and that book also emphasizes a lot about how it is movements that are providing the changes in the climate movement that we need. And on September 20th, we're going to be discussing The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, a great book for activists to understand where we are in our movement today. And on October 18th, we already have planned a discussion in our book club of The Web of Debt. These will also be at the Labor Temple, the next few book clubs. And you can go to our website to find out any more details about them at northcoastpeoplesalliance.org.
And you're thinking about putting together a film series as well, right?
Yes, so we're going to take these general themes and get some documentaries and hopefully some interesting other movies that are not documentaries.
That was my
excited.
Suggestion.
Yes, I think, absolutely, Eric. Thank you very much.
Yes, something for popcorn.
Well, it's just if you want to get younger people in, you know, sometimes just watching documentaries, and there's some really good entertaining documentaries out there. Everybody's seen Michael Moore's things and all of that. But also, there's some people that are reached more through artistic things, but these are the types of discussions you want to have, and you want to bring people in into the process. And eventually, you'll probably have general membership meetings and try to, you know, have, to talk about how to put these things together. And you have different committees already, it sounds like. So,
yes, we do.
Yeah. So it's.
And again, on our website, Eric, there's a reference to the a button you can click on for our calendar, and you can see quite a all of our local committee meetings, local issues meetings, that our general meetings and. So we're already beginning to build that structure.
I believe you also have a Facebook page, correct?
Yes, we do.
So people can go there and like that, and get information there. And is there anything, do you have other events you wanted to plug? And we'll also try to remind everybody at the end of the show what you know how to reach. You and what other events are happening, but it sounds like a lot of
Arts plate. Alive is coming up this Saturday, and we're going to have a table there with candidates and people that are representing the different measures
in the plaza.
The gazebo.
Right. So, all right. Arts, that's a good place, a good way to connect with them. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Well, we have Solidarity Fridays in front of the courthouse every Friday at 5 p.m. where different groups can come. Anybody can come with any sign supporting any movement they want.
I've seen Veterans for Peace out there on time on occasion.
Yes.
And Women in Black.
And Black Lives Movement, Black Lives Matter, excuse me.
And so what time is that in front of the courthouse?
5 o'clock. 5 p.m. Every Friday.
Yeah,
5 to 6.
All right. So, I mean, it sounds like you're trying to not only win elections and win causes for elections, but you're trying to build a culture around progressive awareness and activism. I mean, that sounds like, you know, some of the types of activism. It reminds me a lot. The Sanders campaign has reminded me a lot of the Jesse Jackson campaign of the 1980s, which led to Rainbow Coalition and other organizations being formed around. And it was always, again, the feeling was this is more than a campaign. It's about a movement. But it sounds like, you know, you're talking about not just, you know, winning power, political power, but trying to transform society at the local level.
Yes, well, I think we all feel very strongly about social justice, and we want to see improvements in the difference between the haves and the have-nots, because it looks to me, at least, like we're moving towards a very class, rigid, structured society, and I think that's very dangerous.
Let me do a little station ID here. You're listening to KHSU. This is Thursday Night Talk. My name is Eric Kirk. My guests are Narissa Moran, Elaine, I'm going to keep messing up that name, Elaine Rovier and Peggy Dickinson of the North Coast People's Alliance, newly formed, wanting input, wanting people to get involved. And we will, at the end of the show, repeat the information to get involved. But I'd like to invite callers, if you'd like to join with any thoughts or questions. Phone number, if you're local, is 826-4805. Or if you're out of the area, 1-800-640-5911. That's 826-4805 or 800-640-5911. And certainly, you're not required to have voted for Bernie Sanders to join, right?
No.
Absolutely. I would actually like to say that I think many of us are disturbed by the climate crisis that's unfolding and the systems failures of Mother Earth that are, you know, support life on Earth, and the failure of the governments to take effective action. So we actually visualize a society where we can stabilize the Earth, as well as answering the other challenges of our time, like student debt and Black Lives Matter and other central issues.
Now, you did manage to draw a few students into the Bernie Sanders campaign, correct?
Yes, quite a few.
Yes.
Right. Are you working to try to keep them involved in the organization as it is now?
Well, I think one thing with students is that they suddenly find they have finals, they have papers to write. So it has been sporadic, but there are some students who really have stuck with it, and they went to some of the conferences, and I think Narissa can talk about the conference she went to in Chicago and Philadelphia.
Right. I mean, there is a local movement, but you're also kind of part of a national movement as well.
Yes.
Narissa, you want to tell us a little bit about what happened back east?
I went to the People's Summit in Chicago, and that was interesting because it was very pro-Bernie and was very enthusiastic crowd, but it was still not clear at that time that Bernie didn't have a clear shot at winning this. And then the convention in Philly, which was right before the Democratic National Convention, and we prepared programs and platforms. There were certainly a lot of mostly young people at both of those. Although I have noticed that in general, I have seen in different meetings some of us older folks and a lot of younger folks, but not so much the ones in between. I think the people that are still raising children and have jobs to go to and whatnot are probably not as able to get to some of the events that I've been to, but certainly there were a lot of young people, and we do have some stalwart students that have that are participating with us.
And one of our Bernie delegates, Robert Shear, is a student at KHSU. He's in the master's program.
Okay, why don't we take Hillary in McKinleyville? You're
Hi.
On the air.
Thanks. This is Hillary Mosier, the chair of the Humboldt Mobile Homeowners Coalition that has organized Measure V. And I was just calling to thank the Alliance for all the help and the support that they've been giving us for this campaign effort that's going to take a lot of people.
Okay. All right. Did you want to say any more about it?
Well, you know, Measure V is about social justice. It's about affordable housing and how little we have in this county and how much we need to work to preserve what we do have and how corporations are coming in and just buying up these parks that moms and pops built back in the 70s and then jacking up the lot fees beyond affordability so people are becoming homeless. And we need everybody in Humboldt County to get the vote out. They've got to vote yes on Measure V for victory.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Does anybody want to respond?
Yes. I think that the influx of interest in money in mobile homes reflects part of the problem that has been besetting the country. A lot of people have been put out of their homes. They're underwater with their homes. They can't sell them for nearly what they paid for them. They have to take what they can get. And many of them, I think, have been moved by the idea that they could afford a mobile home park. And a number of the parks have been gentrified. They're putting in swimming pools, and they're having clubhouses and saunas, and it's beginning to put a tremendous pressure on the low-income people, particularly seniors, many of whom are living in mobile home parks as the last home they'll be able to afford. And I think it's really a brutal movement because it's going to increase homelessness, and I'm very concerned particularly about the percentage of seniors who are going to be literally put out of their homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be vying with the students at HSU for low-income housing.
Okay.
That's a good point. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much, Hillary.
Thank you.
For your efforts. One of the problems that the Bernie Sanders campaign ran into, and there are a number of reasons for this, and we can analyze it to death, but they did have a hard time reaching a number of black voters, particularly older black voters. And so obviously that's something that any progressive movement is going to have to address. Now, they didn't necessarily have as hard a time reaching Native and Asian voters. In fact, I remember in Iowa, there was one tribe that was a whole precinct. He won by something like 90 to 10%, something like that. There are a lot of different dynamics there, and the way the media kept reporting it, even after Hawaii, which there's no way he could have won that without a significant majority of people of color, they just kept referring to it as the white vote. Same thing with Alaska. The majority of Alaskan voters are white, but the majority of Democratic Alaskan voters aren't. And so he clearly did. Where he ran into his first real problems were in the Deep South with a lot of older black voters. I think just they're thinking they just, you know, wanted to have the candidate they believed would have the best chance of defeating the Republican. But there's a lot of other reasons for it. But obviously, it's something that the coalition has to work on. Is there any particular approach you want to take to drawing in more supporters who are maybe from those communities?
Well, we'd certainly love to meet some of those people, and I would like to invite any and all people of whatever color to come to our booth at the North Country Fair and get some information about the Alliance, get involved, and I certainly would encourage people of color to come and join us, Native Americans, Asians, Black, any color at all. We would really be delighted to have your support.
Yeah. Right, and I do think that the Native American community, particularly in California, they were very impressed with Bernie.
Yes.
And they came out, you know, supporting him because he respected them. He listened to them. He came and talked to them. He prayed with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would encourage, you know, all the people of color in this area and Native Americans particularly, you know, because we have a high percentage of Native Americans in this county to get involved.
So
Go ahead.
So I think that some of the problems that Bernie ran into right at the beginning of his campaign is a lot of the voting in the South was done before a lot of people knew who he was. Mm-hmm. So that may have contributed to that problem.
Sure.
But also, I think we need to have an understanding among ourselves and in the society as a whole that the criminal justice system as it exists today is largely responsible for the Black Lives movement because the criminal justice system is pushing people of color, blacks and Latinos, in higher percentages than whites into the jails. Young blacks get charged and jailed at a higher rate than whites do for very minor misdemeanors, and they get pushed into the criminal justice system and without adequate resources to get back into society. It's creating a lot of desperation in the community, and I'm not saying that poor white communities are not feeling desperation also, but it's particularly the way the criminal justice system is attacking the black communities throughout the country that we have to do as much education as we can around that and bring in the people that can help us mobilize around that. And we have done a couple of events around that already. And actually, that's the way the Solidarity Fridays started, was in solidarity with people who have been shot point blank by police forces. Not in our area, excuse me, but in other parts of the country. Yeah.
You know, my kids attend the Eureka schools, and one of the things I've really noticed is you walk around Eureka, and it may seem pretty white, a lot of elderly white people, but you go into the schools, and it's like, I substitute taught in San Francisco in the early 90s, and Eureka High School is really diverse, which says something about the future of the county, and particularly Eureka, because this is where the kids are, and they're going to be raised here and hopefully find a way to make a living. And we got to talk about that as well, obviously, is what are we going to do, once obviously a big issue for progressives and everybody in the community here is, timber is definitely on the wane, and we've got this sort of bubble with the marijuana thing going on, but that could go at any time, and so we have to think about economic diversity. But the younger the families are very diverse, and I'm talking about every ethnic group, pretty much, well represented on the high school. My son is playing on the soccer team, 20 players, I think about 5 of them are white. So it's a very interesting dynamic happening in Zane as well, and Winship. And I've noticed it the diversity is increasing in schools elsewhere. So there are definitely communities. We've had an influx. My understanding. Is that what used to be Pacific Lumber, I think, is now Humboldt Redwoods. I think more than half of their employees are Latino, and there's also on the west side of Eureka, fairly sizable black population. I don't know what brought it here, and we have, of course, Asians and Native Americans. So obviously, it's something we have to envision, and we in any part of a successful progressive program, we'll obviously have to tap into those communities.
So we really need to reach out to these communities, and we did try to reach out to the Latino population in Fortuna, and I think we did it on short notice, and the response was not very heartening, but I think we can learn to do this, and one of the things that I am really concerned about is that the inequality in the prosecution of people of color is one of the things that is feeding the violence in this country. And I'm very, very concerned about the rise of violence in this country. And I think that if we take a progressive attitude and emphasize our goal of social justice, that maybe we can make a difference. I think there's still time.
I think Peggy has a good point there. And I think social justice combined with the economic justice is going to be our key here. And you were talking about jobs. I think it's been pretty well established that a new economy based on solar and wind energy, renewable energies, can produce a lot more jobs than the old economies of nuclear or fossil fuel-based extraction.
So look to local energy. Alternative energy development? Is that as a possible part of a political program even?
Push? Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've noticed over the years, I've lived here since 1979, and one of the things I've noticed is the proliferation of small businesses. Mm-hmm. They gradually become larger. One of the things that I was astounded to learn is that we have one of the most famous marimba producing businesses in the entire world. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine plays in the San Francisco Symphony, and she told me about the Marimba One, which is a very, very successful, highly regarded business that's right here in the Humboldt County. And I think that if we do a good job of educating our young people and encouraging them, and if the government, the city governments, can do things like Food Works. I remember when Food Works got started, people were so eager to have a spot in Food Works so they could develop their businesses and get out of their kitchens and expand. And I think that government can do things like that. And I'd really like to see more development of small businesses and encourage them.
And small businesses, I believe, account for 70 to 80% of the private sector employment.
Yes, I think that's true.
And yet the emphasis is always on the big ticket, you know,
right,
getting some big factory to come in, and when really incubation and development of small business.
Yeah,
is really
I agree.
Important.
Yeah.
Narissa?
And I just wanted to say that I don't think the North Coast People's Alliance is really setting out to break a lot of new ground. I think a lot of this is already going mm-hmm. on. And so we are working with, like, around immigration issues. We're aligning with True North, or at least we're working together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working together, or at least we have in our sights, to work more together with Transition Humboldt, which is another organization that's already promoting things like growing food locally and providing their own local, you know, solar power and other neighborhood endeavors, you know, for saving energy and things like that. I think that, and they have, Transition Humboldt also has a website.
All right, you're listening to KHSU. This is Thursday Night Talk. My name is Eric Kirk. My guests, Narissa Moran, Elaine Rovier, and Peggy Dickinson, all involved with the North Coast People's Alliance, a new organization with a lot of energy and looking to bring more energy into it. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 826-4805. Or if you're out of the area, 800-640-5911, or that's 826-4805, or 800-640-5911. And obviously, you would like to get ideas of what to do, where to go, and you certainly invite participation of people to come in and maybe come up with some new ideas of what the organization should do, as long as it's...
Yes, one of the things we really want to do is form coalitions with already existing groups so mm-hmm. that we can sort of multiply the effect of having more and more people who are working towards social justice and environmental justice and the things that we really are focusing on.
I think that's a really good point, Peggy. You know, I think that synergy that comes from building something with other people that many times are already more knowledgeable or more involved than we are,
right, yes.
But we can help provide some of the energy that came from the Bernie movement mm-hmm. into this. And I think we're recognizing more and more now that we're in a historical moment, that this is the time for political change. As all of us have already mentioned, we've been around a while, and this is the first time we've really seen these all this energy come together. And all of us know that that an election is not a movement, but that this election can be a point or a moment in this movement that brings us all together and brings together all of the different movements that are pushing for different forms of social and economic and environmental justice.
Yeah, and I think that we really do need to form coalitions in order to keep that energy going, because there's always forces and interests that tend to pull us apart, and we really need to sort of counteract that by forming alliances. I think that's why we chose the name. Alliances with other groups who are active in all different areas. Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a lot of hope, too, just because of the incredible number of young people that have become involved. Mm-hmm. Because for, like, the last decade or so, it seems like there wasn't a lot of political interest or feeling that they could actually make a difference.
Right.
And I think that's really changed with the Bernie campaign.
You know, it was very interesting, because a lot of people ask, how could somebody who calls himself a socialist be... even come as close as he did to get mm-hmm. get that much support? And I think one of the things is when you're talking about young people, you know, a lot of us, even those of us who are progressive, were jaded on that word because of the Red Scare of the 50s, which I missed, but and the Cold War and the renewal of the 1980s under Reagan. And they weren't born in that context. They don't have, you know, they were born either during or, you know, as it was coming to a close, as the Cold War was coming to a close. So they're not afraid of the word. You know, it was sort of like some of them maybe agreed with it, and others are like, well, okay, I don't know if I'm a socialist, but I definitely am behind the majority, a good part of this platform. And that's a new era itself. I mean, it just wasn't a factor.
Well, there's been a huge cultural change just in the past, like, few years. LGBT mm-hmm. rights, same-sex mm-hmm. marriage, you know, acceptance of marijuana.
And it happens so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, things sometimes, they go for a long time, and then all of a sudden snowball really quickly, and that's something you want to capitalize on. This is a time of change.
Yes, and we really need to keep it going. That's one of the reasons that we're trying to form alliances with other groups and just keep our own energy going. One of the things that has concerned me with the alliance is that we have a number of very active people, and they have particular issues that they are very concerned with. And I think that's wonderful, but I think we also need to keep the group together. And that's been one of the reasons that I've sort of stuck it out. And I'm hopeful. I really am.
Another suggestion. The organization this came out of was Northern Humboldt for Bernie Sanders, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. There was Southern Humboldt for Bernie Sanders, but it kind of didn't come together as an organization in the same way. Are you going to make any outreach to Southern Humboldt? There are quite a few people, a lot of resources, maybe not as many people down there, but a lot of resources, people who think and have similar histories.
Yeah, there was a very active group in Mendocino, and mm-hmm. and we're still in touch with them. Mm-hmm. I think that right now we're sort of assembling ourselves and trying to focus on certain things. We do really want to get involved in local issues and mm-hmm. with local candidates, and you can only spread yourself so thin.
Sure.
And but we really do encourage other groups to contact us and mm-hmm. see what kinds of things we can share.
Yep. I think one thing, too, that kind of pings off of what you were saying, Eric, is that in this historical moment, we're seeing a lot of people are seeing the link between different issues that maybe
right.
we didn't see before in past movements, where each group was kind of fighting. Women were fighting for women's issues, for example, and not so much, you know, uniting labor with women with a Black Lives Matter type of movement. So I think we have certain targets that we're working to focus our organization on, and they cover the whole gamut, like destruction of the environment, the legacy of white supremacy, the rise of corporate power, the unconscionable carnage of war. That's one that we haven't mentioned yet that we really need mm-hmm. To focus on, too. And supporting of political dissent, and because we know that there's more and more monitoring by the government, and just all of the issues that affect the poor and marginalized.
All right, John in Pepperwood, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about the word socialist, the way it's used and misused in our nation here. And Ralph Nader had a real good statement about that, if anybody wanted to look that up, in a recent piece he did on alternative radio, AR.
Mm-hmm.
The socialists in our country are the corporations and the banks who get bailed out by the taxpayer. That's who the real socialist recipients of social money.
If what you're saying is true, I think Michael Harrington once said it. We socialize the risk, but privatize the profit. We basically have socialism for the rich. That's what
right.
You say. Yeah.
Right. And so, someone having reservations about Mr. Sanders vis-a-vis his statement that he's a socialist really need to think about that, you know, because it ain't what it used to be thought to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had.
All right.
John, I think that's a really good point. You know, I think that one of the things that's happened recently and that we saw during the Bernie campaign is that people have been able to talk about all of these problems, not only their linkages, but also talk about them from a different perspective and actually feel so much energy that there's actually hope that we might be able to do something, you know, and do something as soon as possible while it's still
we're able to do it peacefully.
Yes.
I'm really anxious to see where this goes in the future because I can't tolerate the thought of all this energy being put out and then we'll just park it for 4 years.
Yep.
Definitely, that's not what we want to have happen.
No.
That's why we're...
No.
John, we're out to win this one.
Yeah, well, John, we would really like to have you join us. Do check out our website, NorthCoastPeoplesAlliance.org, and see what's happening, and come and sign up. We'll be at the Labor Temple on Sunday, canvassing. We'd have a canvassing training and then going out, starting to canvass. And we would really love to have your energy join ours.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
You know, part of the education too is to talk about the history, and a lot of times we lose touch with our own history and local history. A lot of people don't know that the mayor and the majority of the city council of Eureka about a century ago were socialists.
Really?
There is a whole
Shocking.
History there.
Shocking.
It's, yeah,
I did not
it's,
know that.
It is absolutely true. There was a movement. Eugene Debs was kind of the Bernie Sanders mm-hmm. of the time.
Right, yeah.
Had run, got 6% of the vote in 1912, and
he was captured. He was in prison for...
He ran for president in prison for opposing World War I. Socialist Party ran into a lot of challenges during that time in the socialist movement in general, but between him and Jack London writing the Iron Heel and the rest, Jack London also has some local roots. He came up and got into a bar fight with a local timber baron, about that. But there, you know, we think of, a lot of people think of Humboldt County as being this conservative kind of redneck place until the hippies arrived in the late 60s and early 70s. Not quite true. There's a history, a rich history of labor activism in Humboldt County. There's a rich history of Native people standing up for themselves, Chinese being in trouble. And there is a history of radicalism in Humboldt County that there's articles about it. If you go online, I think the North Coast Journal has done a few stories about it in the past, and probably that's something we should promote. This is consistent mm-hmm. with history. This the progressive history of Humboldt County does not begin with the Back to the Land movement or the creation of Humboldt State University, as many people would think, certainly as some people say. So
I think that might be something
for the education committee.
Exactly. That's just what I was going to say. We could have a night on the radical history of mm-hmm. Humboldt County.
And then we can do a museum exhibit at the Clark Museum.
That's a great idea. Yeah. This is what happens in this group. People keep popping up with these great ideas, and we're all hoping that others will join us because it takes energy to put these ideas into play. And so we would love to have people join us and bring their energy and get excited about the radical history of Humboldt County. I was also going to say that I saw a wonderful interview with Bernie Sanders on Charlie Rose's interview program. And Charlie Rose said something about, well, you know, everybody thinks you're a socialist. Hmm. And Bernie Sanders said, yes, because I believe in Medicare. I believe in health services for all. And is that socialist? And I believe in things like Social Security. Is that socialist? Probably. And he went on and on with a number of things that we already have that can be considered socialism. Is Social Security socialist? There's a very good question, and I know that there are people who want to privatize it, which I personally think would be a great disaster. And I think that if you look at what the situation in the country is economically, you can see that we have some programs which are considered socialist, and many of them in other countries, like some of the Scandinavian countries, are just considered what government is supposed to be doing. And I think that we may be starting to change our attitudes about that, and I hope that that's one thing that we can do, is promote education about real social justice issues.
We did have a show earlier in the year, I think it was January or February, about socialism and what it meant. And socialism can be anything. A fire hydrant that's publicly owned is socialist, right? Because it's owned, you know. And in fact, there are, you know, hardcore free enterprise libertarians who argue that we should privatize the sidewalks, that everybody on the block should charge tolls, you know, to go on their walk by their house. So there's a lot of different extreme views on it. But I do remember when Bernie Sanders was running for Senate for the first time in 2006. He'd been in the House for, I think, 16 years at that point. And there was a woman who was supporting him who was in a power suit. She was a businesswoman from Burlington who remembered him as mayor. She was in her mid-50s, maybe early 60s, and they asked her, they said, "You don't look like somebody who would support a socialist." And her response is, "Oh, I don't care what his religion is." It's really funny. I mean, so it's not even that necessarily everybody who votes for him is a socialist. It's that they're not afraid of the word. It's an idea, and they're willing to discuss it. And that is a turnaround. A huge turnaround.
Yes, I think so. Yeah,
yeah, because I think it's been equated with communism and authoritarianism and dictatorship, and it's not. It's
socialism is really an economic system,
yeah.
You know.
And Bernie is a democratic socialist.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are coming to the realization that if we privatize things like food, housing, health care, and our education, that maybe those things are not things that we should be making profit off of, that business has its place, and entrepreneurship, certainly we need that.
Or the worst thing, the privatization of prisons, which creates a profit incentive to keep them in.
Right. Exactly.
That's, they don't get paid unless they have them, so what's the incentive for them to keep records that would let people get out on parole? You know? I mean, it's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, it is.
But that's...
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is one of the things that has caused me considerable concern, because I think we have to have social change while we can do it peacefully. Mm-hmm. And I think the more we privatize, the more we segregate people out who aren't in that little corporation or interest group. And I think that's a very dangerous thing. I think we need to broaden things rather than restrict them.
All right, you're listening to KHSU. This is Thursday Night Talk. My name is Eric Kirk. My guests are Narissa Moran, Helene Rovier, and I doubt I've said it right even once, and Peggy Dickinson, all members of the or involved with the North Coast People's Alliance. In a few minutes, we'll try to provide all the contact information and ways that people can tap in. But why don't we continue with the discussion? Oh, the phone number if you want to join the discussion, 826-4805 or 800-640-5911. That's 826-4805 or 800-640-5911. And if you didn't get those numbers, you can always get it off of khsu.org. So we're talking about, again, you've got a number of things going. You're in formation, though, as an organization, right? I mean, you're still trying to figure out exactly what you want to be. It came out of the campaign, and you've got a lot of things that you're involved with, but people who want to get involved and help you know, be involved in the formation of it, maybe this is the time to get in at the ground floor, right?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yes. Yes.
Because there's great, you're going to have, I mean, do you even have a vision statement yet? Or?
Yes. Again, on our website, NorthCoastPeoplesAlliance.org, we have the vision statement where we basically explain how the North Coast People's Alliance is becoming a thriving center for effective grassroots alliances working for economic, environmental, and social justice. And then we have a mission statement that's a little bit more elaborated, but it's all there on the website if mm-hmm. you want to check it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you're not yet a 501c3. You're talking about whether to do that or what to do or what structure. That's all part of the ongoing discussion, right?
That's correct,
right.
Yes.
Right, because we don't want to be restricted from endorsing a candidate at the same time. Mm-hmm. We want people to be able to make donations to our educational efforts, and so we are considering
different options,
right.
Yeah. And anybody who wants to participate in that discussion, well, we'll give you the contact information in a few minutes. But how many people do you support? Well, let's take a caller. Craig in McKinleyville, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Love the program.
Thanks.
And, you know, listening to what you guys are talking about, I just wanted to maybe interject that maybe making a distinction between socialism and social living and trying to turn that upside down so that maybe more people won't be afraid of the idea. And the ism is the negative portion of it that is associated with all the other isms in the world. And I think if social living was more embraced by people and communities, they would understand that it's a sharing of resources and within the communities they live.
All right. Do you want to elaborate on the concept a little bit?
You know, I think it's, you know, to each their own of what that might the term mean, but it is a, you know, again, sharing those you know, social resources that makes communities strong, and you know, are those things that everyone wishes to have in their life, and from food and shelter and, you know, whatever, and just, you know, a decent place to live. So that's all I have to say.
Anybody want to respond?
Well, you know, this is Narissa here. I'll say a word or two. You know, I think we are basically talking about that social living that Craig is referring to. We have these communal values, shared valuables for walkable, sustainable communities. And it's unfortunate that socialism has that negative connotation. I think a lot of that comes back from the 50s, and I think the reason a lot of young people could get behind Bernie was because they hadn't been, their thinking hadn't been tainted with that negative concept. So I think it was, you know, fortunate that the young people could get behind it regardless of the word that's used. Yeah, and I hope we get more to the content of what we're trying to build and less to the labels that we put on it. But that's a good point, you know, that we have to be careful about the words that we use because they do trigger things.
That's
although
true.
The word was Googled, I think, more in the past year than in the past 15 years put together or something like that because of Bernie.
That's good point. That's good. People wanted to understand what it meant then.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe we should talk about social justice rather than socialism.
Mm-hmm.
So I think many people would agree with some of the social justice goals that we have. So.
There you go. Yeah, and speaking of that, I mean, one of the things I saw recently, apparently, according to some magazine or some outfit, Humboldt County was rated the second most beautiful county in the 48, lower 48 states. Now, I don't know what the criteria was or if it was based on voting, but we definitely have some incredible resources that way here. We talk about, a lot of people talk about ecotourism as a possible, you know, economic development. We're not that far away from a major urban center, you know, in the Bay Area, and it's on a route, you know, the West Coast route. I mean, you know, talking about developing those resources, we have beautiful parks like no other place, and endless trails. And a lot of people are, you know, talking about wanting to make it more bike friendly, bicycle tourist friendly. I mean, any thoughts on how to promote that?
Well, I think one of the things that was hugely successful this year was Godwit Days. They had more people than they've ever had before, and that brings a lot of money into the area. And there's a lot of interest, and in Ferndale there's going to be a Concours d'Elegance this weekend, and apparently there's a large number of cars that are coming. And if we can promote sort of specialized interest things like that, one of the things that I'm concerned about is although I think the movement towards getting the marijuana industry much more legal is very important, I would hate to see us becoming a one industry area again, like mm-hmm. the logging and, well, the fishing is not gone, but it's in decline, and lumber is having a very difficult time. But if we become a one note industry, I think we're in for trouble.
Because the fortunes rise and low with that one.
Yes, right,
product.
Yeah. And so we really need to broaden what we can in the area. And I would love to see, as I said before, more small businesses. And I'd like to see the local city governments and county government support things like the development or maybe business centers to help support the development of small businesses, and then to emphasize some of our greatest benefits, which is our local landscape.
Okay. Well, we're getting towards the top of the hour. We should probably start winding it down. Is there anything else you want to talk about what the organization is doing or wants to do or hopes to do?
Well, one thing I think we haven't mentioned that we want or hope to do is, after the election season, is develop some sort of program where we can mentor and educate and support candidates. Mm-hmm. So we have new progressive candidates in the area that have like a toolkit with them and the support they need to actually run for office.
Yes, great. Definitely. And we do have some fairly progressive politicians who are now retired, but I think we could draw on them and on their experience to help develop candidates and develop people who have a realistic idea of what they're into when they get into politics, which is very important, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get in sort of idealistically and thinking they're going to make changes very rapidly and discover that it's a slow and very laborious process.
Well, we had 10 years ago or so, there was an organization called Local Solutions, some very good, really dedicated people who ran it, but it kind of fell apart. And of course, the perennial story of progressives is that we have our circular firing squads,
right.
And that's
yes.
always going on. We want to try to avoid that as much as possible. I think there's a quote out there from Eric Stanley, Kim Stanley Robinson said, anytime you get a movement of five people, you've got at least one effing idiot in the bunch. So you're always got the internal problems as well, and you got to let those not ruin it, find a way to metabolize it, because you're inviting people in. You're not going to be exclusive to block people out. So but it's always tough because you're dealing with people,
That's true.
We're all,
that's true.
That's,
but we're ready to try.
We're ready to try. Again, also very key to Local Solutions' successes were lists of voters to contact for getting out the vote purposes. And that's
yes.
obviously something to develop yes. and cultivate. And it's always changing, so you got to keep updating it. And that's
yes, well, we've got those skills. We did turn out 70% of
yep.
Humboldt County
right.
voters.
That's right.
So, yeah, we hope to capitalize on those skills. No pun intended.
All right, Peggy, you want to close out with some thoughts? So we'll give each of you a chance to kind of give some closing thoughts, and then we'll give out the organizational contact information and how to get involved.
Well, I hope people who are interested will certainly make use of the three efforts that we have in the next 3 days. On Friday, that's tomorrow, we have Solidarity Friday in front of the courthouse from 5 to 6. And one of the things we're hoping is that people from different groups who want to come and hold up their signs will talk with each other and find common ground. And then on Saturday, we're going to have a big table with information at Arts Alive. And on Sunday at the Labor Temple, we're going to begin our canvassing efforts with training and then some canvassing. So come and join us.
Any thoughts, Dad?
I think Peggy said it all. I would just invite everyone that's interested to join our movement.
All right. Nurse?
I think Peggy said it all, too. I just would like to remind everyone that this is a historical moment, that we couldn't be where we are today if it weren't for the work of people like Eugene Debs that you mentioned, Eric, and the writings of Jack London and others, that we build on history, but we have now come to this historical moment where we all feel like there is a real palpable chance of a change in this country towards, whether we call it social living or a more shared values or socialism or whatever we end up calling it, you know, that we have that chance now. And I just invite everybody to join us. And
how do they find out about you again?
NorthCoastPeople'sAlliance.org. We have our website just went up a few days ago, and we have a Facebook page up now, and we have an office at the Labor Temple. I can't give you the staffing hours on that just yet, but we are there every Sunday from 12 to 4.
All right. I want to thank Nerissa, Helene, and Peggy for joining me. It was really good, this picture of it, so I want to thank you. I want to thank the callers, some very thoughtful callers. Michael, thank you for doing a great job of engineering, and, well, next month I'll...
Thank
I'll
you so it. Much for having us, Eric.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes, Eric, it was really great. You know, I thought I was nervous when I came here, and you made it a very pleasant experience. Thank you, Eric.
Well, thank you. All right. Next time.
You've been listening to Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. Thanks to our host, Eric Kirk, and our guest.